Father, thank you that you have given him a word for us this morning. I pray that our ears will be open, our hearts will be open to listen and to hear what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Amen. Can you hear me? Amen? 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 Ah, I don't need a mic though. Now can you hear me? Yeah, they always say that when the lion, you put a lion to the mic, he becomes a mouse. I promise you I won't be that today, okay? You're recovering from a cough, but I should be fine. Okay. Now today we're going to speak from the book of Ephesians. We continue in our studies of Ephesians. Let me just adjust myself here. Okay, if you have the Bible with you, you can open up to chapter 3. That's where we're going to speak from. But before that, just a little bit of an intro on the book. Now, the book of Ephesians is actually a sermon in itself. You can literally just read it, and it speaks to you. That is, of course, if you can understand the whole of its language. For some parts of it, it can be quite convoluted. One of the key words that is used in the book is mystery. A mystery, not meaning something that cannot be explained, but something that's about, rather there is a wonderful truth that can be revealed to us and is being made known to us. So in chapter 1, Paul introduced the mystery of God's will. What is this will? This morning as we worship God, we sang about Almighty God, about His love for us, about His sacrifice, unending love, and so on, about His sovereignty. This sovereign God, Almighty God, has a will for all of us. And that His will is that we are to look towards a time when all things on heaven and earth will be headed by Christ and with the believers, both Jews and Gentiles alike, will partake of the glory as joint heirs with Jesus. Our God, in giving us that promise, has also given us the Holy Spirit as a pledge of our inheritance in Him, as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, as believers, our bondage to the evil powers in the heavenly realms through sin has now been broken, and His Spirit's blessing are now available to us in all those heavenly places. And God's people say, amen. It's a wonderful news. Before, in all these principalities of the air, we were bound by our sin. But through Jesus, we are now set free in this heavenly realm. Amen. And it is the Spirit of God that will reveal that the power that God has given to us and give us a fuller and a deeper understanding of God. Now, in chapter 2, then Paul opens with a repetition of the Ephesians believers and former bondage to sin and enslavement to the powers in the heavenlies. But whose place is now in the heavenlies, but seated with Christ in the heavenly realm? Amen. Now, Paul does this to emphasize this mystery of God's will again. Yeah, and how God effects this will through His abundant grace and mercies to us. Unmerited grace, grace that we do not deserve, but God extended it and gave it to us. So that because neither Jew nor Gentiles can be saved by just obedience to the law or to any acts of righteousness on their part, but by the grace of God, that wonderful, abundant, extravagant grace which is given freely to all who believe in Jesus Christ, both Jew and Gentile, as one people. And how does God do this? Chapter 2, it says, firstly, through the death of Christ, both believing Jews and Gentiles are reconciled to God and to one another, unified as the body of Christ, and therefore also becomes the holy temple in which God dwells by His Spirit, the place of God's habitation on earth. And secondly, through the same Holy Spirit, both Jew and Gentile now have access to the same Father, Abba Father, as one family and one household. Isn't that a great news? How this is a great mystery. How could two different cultures even an enemy and animosity with one another could come together. As a family, not just as a people, but as a family, as a household in Christ. This is a wonderful mystery of God. And that's what who we are today. As we are gathered here, we have Canadians, Americans, Singaporeans, Malaysians, everyone, and Africans. We have come together also as one. And there's great news, even greater news than that. Not one, just one people as a family, and all of us able to come to the same Father. Have the same access, no inequity there. The very same access to Abba Father. And you would say, to that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen to that. And you know, I could almost today like ask us together when we were singing a song. Chris, you prayed that God Almighty and all people will call Him Lord, right? And cry out to Him, Lord, 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 you know, Thou art holy, right? And He is the same Father. We say, Father, Father, Thou art holy too. Amen. The Creator of heaven and earth. Now let's go on before, we haven't even got to chapter 3 yet, right? We're still on chapter 2. Now recall then, two weeks ago, Steve reminded us that this gift of abundant grace frees us too to live as God's work of art, to be spurred on towards the great works that God is steering our way. Amen? And here we are today as believers, enjoying this downpour of grace upon us. Grace and grace upon grace. The grace of salvation, the grace of being able to live together as one. Eh? Amen? Instead of animosity with one another. The grace of enjoying God's gift coming upon us. We are just pregnant with blessings. Amen? You agree with that? Some of us may not feel that way, but I tell you, you are. The Bible says you're pregnant with blessings. The Holy Spirit has been deposited as a pledge of God's guarantee of those blessings in your life. And it's only for us to appropriate that. Amen. Yes, thank you, Lord. Amen. Now today, we're going to steer our way into chapter 3. Here, Paul continues to unfold this very same mystery of God's reconciliatory work in us. He begins in verse 1 to 13, where he emphasizes again that Gentiles are co-heirs with Jews. Say that with me. Gentiles are co-heirs with Jews. Amen. And Jews are chosen people. Amen. And we are the elect, right? Elected unto salvation. Amen. Now, as Paul then moves on to the second part of chapter 3, he then began to pray. He exhorts and he urges and he pleads, and with a sense of great urgency to the church of Ephesus to know the unknowable love of Christ so that they can be filled with the fullness of God Himself. And that God will make all these things possible through the strengthening of the believers in the inner person by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, it is almost as if Paul here was being prophetic about what the church would become some 30 years later. If you look at Revelation 2, the message to the church at Ephesus. Now, God commends the church for their good deeds. He commends them for their perseverance without growing weary. And He commended them for their endurance for the sake of Christ. I think that's pretty good, don't you think? But what did God say to them? As much as God has commended to them, He said, but this I have against you, that you have left your first love. Remember from where you have fallen, that's from the first love. And then repent and do the deeds that you did at first. I'm going to read it again. This is a church that God commended highly, and then He says, but this I have against you, that you have left your first love. Remember from where you have fallen from the first love. And now repent and do the deeds that you did at first. Now the deeds they did at first, the deeds that pertaining to acts, and acts of their love for God, right? That seeking God, looking out for God, you know, and just going deeper and deeper into the love of God. And God enjoys that, right? If you have a lover, you know that. I hope the lover is your wife or something, your sweetheart. But you would enjoy the company, right? Right? That first love impact. And God is missing that. And God is saying, now repent on that and then go back again and do the things that you did at first. Now, to understand what Paul is urgently encouraging the Ephesians to do, let us now dive into that segment of chapter 3, verses 3, 14 to 21. It's right on the screen. And this is sometimes known as the famous ardent prayer of Paul for the church of Ephesus and for all believers alike. For all believers alike. Let's read it together. One, two, three. For this reason, I kneel before the Lord Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now Paul opens chapter 3 with, for this reason I was made a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you, Gentiles. And now in verses 14 and 21, he starts with the same phrase, for this reason. For this reason I kneel before the Father in praying, as he begins his prayer. Now, the kneeling express, we don't have to go into whether he knelt or he didn't kneel, but the kneeling is an expression of a posture of reverence, an expression of one's willingness, submission to God, right, or to the one you kneel before, and a fullness of gratitude in your heart. That's why you kneel, a spirit of humility. So here, Paul says, for this reason, twice. What is this reason which Paul is grateful for? You know, I sometimes think Paul is a little long-winded, but he wanted to push a point across. For this reason, it is clear that he's still on the mystery, right? The mystery of how God has a plan to bring together all people as one people, right? Jews and Gentiles alike. Having the access to the same Father, to be of one family, unified as one, a family, one Father, and a whole brand new nation. Amen? Amen. For this reason, Paul is exhilarated. He's excited about what God can do with this new people. A people of power, which has now become a reality. Right? It's a reality. It's out there. It's already proclaimed in the heavenlies. This is a powerful word. Proclaim the heavenlies. This is a new people. A new people of power. A people to be reckoned with. To wage war with the principalities of the air. Are you excited? And the devil knows that. That's why in our lives he comes in and tempts us, draws us away, and draws us from the first love of God. I'm sure you can imagine what that is like. And just like the Ephesians, I feel often, I've lost that first love, you know? And I've got to get back into it. I've got to dive back into it. Then God will bring a loving person in my life. Firstly, my wife will say, pray, come on, pray. And pray is one way, right? Come on, pray. And someone will say, God loves you, don't you know that? And a kid might come and tell me, Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, you know what I mean, right? We have become so pregnant with the blessings and the Spirit of God, and we are serving faithfully, and then we lost the first love. Like the church of Ephesus. Strange, isn't it? But true. Why? Because we do not meditate on the word as much? Why we do not pray as much? Why it's prayer? Prayer is going before God, communicating with God, right? When you want to build a relationship with someone, what do you need to do? You need to communicate. You need to talk. When you want to build a relationship with someone, you need to stay with the person through all times, difficult and easy times, right? To understand each other better. When you want to build a relationship with someone, you share joys and happiness and sadness, everything together, right? You walk together closely at all times. And you say amen to that? That's the kind of relationship God wants in His first love relationship with us. First love, always abiding together, right? Can you imagine you being separated from, if you're married, from your spouse? You know, much as I and my wife do have our little differences, I can't imagine a life without her. A life I can grumble every morning, hey, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? No, I'm just kidding. But she's become part of you, right? And you communicate through difficult times. Easy times, difficult times. Begin to build that kind of relationship together. And you begin to build trust and respect. Does God have your trust and your respect? You have sung your songs this morning. You're standing, you're putting hands up. Now ask yourself, has God not already earned this trust and respect in your life? Say yes or no in your heart. Don't tell. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Brother Roy, you're very, very sincere. He said, yes, Lord. That's great. And has He not accepted us as we are with all our flaws and our inadequacies and our ugliness even? Yes, He has, right? And He extends love to us. Has He not navigated with us through difficult times? Yes, He has. Whose footprints were that? Those on the sand. They were His, not us. He carried us. Was He not the good shepherd who is with us through our life, through the valley of the shadow of death? Yes, He has been. And His word says He has always been, right? It's us who forgets, just like those footprints in the sand. We think we are alone. But He was He who has carried us. So building relationship takes an effort too, on two parts, right? One, to receive, one to come, or one to come, one to receive, either way. Here we have a unique situation. We have Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth and of all created things. Here He's standing, your Father, with open arms, waiting for you. It brings us to that story of the prodigal son. You know, the story of the prodigal son is not a story of an unbeliever, it's a story of a believer, right? Who has backslidden when he went away from the father's household. Then, even experiencing his love, his care and all that, he went away. Then when he has spent all his money, then he just had to turn back and look at home and say, I want to be home. Then he comes at a distance and the father sees him. And the father has been waiting, right, all this time. And he sees him. Then the father runs to him. Now, I'm sure he would have been hesitant. I mean, you've seen enough movies on that where somebody goes home and thinking they've hurt their family badly, and then they were sort of wondering whether they should go, they should not go, right? Here the fathers probably saw the son doing that, and he rushed forward to hug him. Now, in the ancient Near East culture, or in any Asian culture really, a father really does that. A father is just a boom. You come to me. If you're sorry, you come to me. Here the father rushes out to him, just waiting for that moment that he would just turn his head and say, I want to come home. Amen. That's our Heavenly Father. Arms outstretched to you. I love you. You even believe that? You know that. You know that. Have you experienced that? I love you. Come home to me. I miss that first love. I miss your being with me. I miss your praying. I even miss your complaining. Come to me. Come to me. Come and know me. Come and know what you think is unknowable. And I will reveal them to you. Come. Come to me. So Paul, as we Now then, Paul, as we enter now into verses 16 to 19, this is the most beautiful part probably of Ephesians. And this is something that the pastors would use as a benediction over and over again. But it's also quite convoluted. Can you put the verses back up again, please? Thank you. Verses 16 to 19. Now we go back to teaching. It's a bit convoluted, but it can be broken down this way. As Paul begins his prayer, he says, to us, to the Ephesians, through the Holy Spirit, God will strengthen you in the inner person with power. Inner person referring to the seat of our personal conscience and our moral being. And God will, and through faith, your faith, that God has seated in you. It's all about God, you know. You know God seeded that faith in our life? That's how we get come to know Him. You know that? True faith, now on action on your part too, Christ dwells in our heart. What for? So that you, with all the saints, being grounded and rooted in love, one, may be able to grasp the breadth, the length, the height and depth of what? Of his love. You got it. Wonderful. Of course, you could say grace. But actually, grace was what came first. Now he wants you to experience the love, right? For Jesus, God so first loved you. Love. Breadth and width. The wideness of God's love. Saving everybody, right? Both Jews and Gentiles. Length, referring to time. From the beginning of time to eternity, a perpetual unfolding of his, the richness of his love and kindness. Height, exaltation of the believer to the highest place as joint heirs with Christ. If only we will go there with him, right? That high. How high can you go? I think there's a song. How high can you go? How high can you go? Well, what's your answer? The throne room, right? Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's the highest you can go. Death, to the extent of suffering with us, the degradation for us, the degradation that the Lord will endure to save us from the pit of our filth and our corruption. That's the breadth, length, height, and depth. Eugene Peterson in The Message paraphrased it this way. He didn't really explain it as the way I just did, but as the way I just did through Gordon Fee, by the way. And he explained it this way. He said, people, reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths and rise up to the heights. Wonderful word, right? Let's read again. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length and plumb its depth and rise up to the heights. Then you'll be able to. Then number two, he says, through the Holy Spirit, through faith, so that you, in love, will be able to now also know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, so that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, to know Christ's love, not just cognitively, but experientially. Cognitive is knowledge, right? Like if I ask you, do you know that God loves you? Answer me. Yes. Why? How? Because of what Jesus did, yes, and because of, and then all the Bible tells me so. Amen. Now this is cognitive, knowing, right? Knowing. Now God wants us to enter into a dimension of experience as well. Experience meaning really feeling His love, Him talking to you, be feeling that you're in His arms as He carries you, as He holds you tight. You know. Knowing God's voice through His Word as He speaks to you. Experiencing His love and His promises. And the Bible has got so many verses talking about God's promises and His love for us, right? And He speaks to us again and again through that love. And we are just to experience it and reciprocate Jesus, you love me. I love you, Jesus. You know, that's experiential, all right? Not just knowing in our mind, but knowing in our heart and experiencing it. And working out and experiencing God's love for us in Christ and our love for one another. This, today, the title of the message is also part of the thesis I'm just trying to present to you, is that we're given grace. And this grace is an invitation into intimacy with God. And an invitation into intimacy with the church. Amen. So that we may be able to love God and love one another. And living life filled up with the fullness of God. Living life fully, right? Living life as God has promised. No barriers, no bondages, no disunity. All bound as one. Jews and Gentiles alike. Malaysians, Singaporeans, Africans, Canadians, Americans. Have I left out any nation here? English, Japanese, yes, Japanese, Koreans, alike. Indians, right? Alike. You know what I mean, right? No barriers. This is a great mystery of God, right? Bringing us all together. Once a separate people, now as one. I see here an invitation to the Holy of Holies, an invitation into intimacy with God, building that intimate relationship we were talking about. A deeper relationship, a deeper knowledge of the love of God that we have never even experienced before. And God is saying, His love surpasses knowledge. You cannot even imagine what it can be. Amen? You only tasted the tip probably of the iceberg. But He says so much more. A love that surpasses all knowledge. And I will just paraphrase it. A love that blows your mind. Exciting? Exciting. Yes, it is. So, in response to the grace and mercy of God and His love for us, we love Him. We are to desire Him and seek Him with all our heart. This is something that is spoken by Bernard of Clairvaux. He is a very powerful preacher in the medieval times, a charismatic guy who is well known for his works on entering into intimacy with the Lord. So he says this as well. The forgiven soul seeks eagerly for his Creator. The forgiven soul seeks eagerly for his Creator. And when he finds him, he holds to him with all his might. I know some of I have at times not held to him with all my might. But this is what the forgiven soul who truly is grateful for his salvation would respond, right? That's what Bernard Clairvaux said. And that's what I'm sure all of us want to do, right? We want to hold it. But it takes time. It takes effort on our part to enter into that as well. But the promises are immense. And He, in His love and His revelation to you, will blow your mind what He can do. Amen. Now, we would like to do let's have a spiritual experience or a spiritual exercise right now. Something we haven't done before, I think, here. And I'm going to need the help of quite a few people, as well as the overheads and so on. So I'd like to invite the worship team to come out first as we move into this. Basically, after this exercise, we'll be moving to a time of an altar call, a time of ministry, and we'll just call out. And we'll ask the prayer warriors, prayer intercessors, to just also come up at this time. Are you here? Please come up and just stand on the side. This will take about 6-7 minutes, but you might just be touched by it. And I believe the Holy Spirit here is with us. Is the Holy Spirit here with us? Amen. He's in you. He's here. Where two or more are gathered in His name, the Spirit of God is with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. I'm going to be soon asking you to close your eyes and seated where you are to imagine a scenario. Then I am going to invite you to do something. And I invite you to just boldly do it. And then the audio will play. and you would hear the words of coming of the Bible as God speaking to you of His promises and of His love. So let me repeat. What will happen now here is, I'm going to paint a scenario for you where you are seated, and then we are going to enter in, and then I'm going to ask you to do something, and if you don't feel comfortable doing it, just continue to just meditate on the Lord, but I would just invite you to participate. Then the audio will come on, all right? And then you'll hear the words of the Bible, of God's promises just washing over you. Then at the end of that, there'll be an altar call. We got that? All ready to participate, put your hand down. All ready to participate, put your hand down. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Let's praise God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I invite you, Lord, into our midst now. Continue to have your presence amongst us and your spirit empowering power working within us even right now. Rising up from within us. Be around us. Be with us. Thank you, Lord. For Lord, we want to experience a new intimacy with you, Lord. We want to begin this day with a new day that as a church, going forth into this new phase of our church, Lord, to not just be be enjoying your blessings, but to enter into a depth of a relationship with you we have ever not known before. And from that, to a depth of a relationship with one another that we even never ever had before. To enter into that first love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Now, with head bowed, eyes closed, you're going to close your eyes for about the next 7 minutes. Just bow and just listen. Now, I want you to imagine this scenario. Imagine for a moment now that you're standing under the showers of cool, refreshing waters of the Spirit, like a waterfall, as Brother Steve Kobe spoke to us about. Just enjoying it, just feeling the water falling upon you, you know. Just imagine that. You're just standing below a waterfall, under the refreshing waters of the Spirit, under the extravagant downpour of a waterfall of grace washing over you, and enjoying every refreshing minute of it. Now, I invite you now to look at your feet. And what do you see? You see that you are standing also at a rocky ledge. And below you is a pool of water, crystal clear, as clean and as pure can be, but deep. The most beautiful waters your eyes have ever set upon, stretching as far as your eyes can see. Now, you hear a beckoning. Take the plunge and enter in. This is the pool of God's immense love. It will take some courage to take the first step. Then you need some effort to lift your feet off the ledge and to dive in. And even when you enter the water, there's work to do. You need to move your arms, move around, and feel what's around you. And when you're in the pool of God's immense love, His love envelops you and nothing will hold you back. Come, you hear the words, come, taste and see. Come and experience my love. So church, I'd like to invite you, as you stand under this waterfall of extravagant grace washing over you, refreshing water washing over you. Now as you look down, as you see this pool of water, the most beautiful waters you've ever seen in your life, so deep, so wide, so pure, so clean, beckoning you to dive in. Would you? would you take a step with me? Lift up your feet and dive. Now let's plunge into these waters. And in this water right now, all surrounded with water, refreshing and the most wonderful and exhilarating feeling you ever had. You then begin to search. Begin to search. And you begin to hear these voices.
My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. Exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. Desire to lavish my love on you simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. For your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been father, and will always be father. My question is, will you be my child? Love, your dad, Almighty God.
Just pour your hearts out right now. Pour out your grievances, your sadness to Him. Pour out your heart to Him right now. Let's do that for a few minutes. Just music. Thank you, Lord. We are opening up the altar up here too. For those of you who may need that extra prayer, I believe God is speaking to some of us right now. To those of us who had past experience, past love experience perhaps, and we just can't seem to just forget it and leave it alone. And many times, although we are not indulging it anymore, it is to us so precious and so memorable that we just can't forget it and can't separate ourselves from it. And as a result, we know in our hearts it is keeping us away from experiencing the richness of God's love. If you are feeling that way, do come forward. We want to pray for you and set a release in your life that you can enter into a new relationship with God. And let that old relationship be separated from you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you know there's something else that's hindering the relationship with God, and I think the words have already been spoken to you, also come forward and speak to our intercessors up here and have them help to pray a release in your life that chains will be broken. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's perfectly set free. For in Christ, you are free indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, come forward. If you need other item of prayer, if you felt that under your present circumstances, whether it be work, financial challenges, that's also keeping you away from entering into the richness of His love, also come forward. Let us pray a new empowerment upon your life. I urge you to just come forward. Come forward and pray for you. If you have been rejected before, in love and now feel that you are afraid to enter into even a love relationship with God, do come forward as well. Come forward as well. Let us pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Just continue to keep the altar open. And as the Spirit speaks with you, come forward. If not, just continue to be where you are and pray. And experience the newness of a new day. Of a new day. Fill in His love.
This is my desire.